Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The specialiest of guests.
Specialiest?
Specialiest.
Have you been saying specialiest?
Nope.
I actually
a special guest.
I feel like I really need to keep a clipboard here in the recording booth so that when we're here, I can keep track of what arguments you're currently making as to your current title.
Ben, I wouldn't worry about it.
I feel like if you keep changing it, man, you know, nobody's going to get it. They're not going to know what to call you.
People know what to, they call me Jazzy J. Jazzy J, patreon.com/popcornculture. Sign up today for Jazzy J.
In case you guys are wondering why we're always having an argument about this, we have it over on our Patreon page. Who gets to be the one true host?
We have a trophy and everything.
They do.
It's sitting on Ben's half of the desk right now.
It is. It says the one true host. It's made of popcorn and it's amazing and glorious. I really want to paint it gold.
You want to paint it? I mean, I think all you probably need is some spray paint.
Some gold you recommend? Somebody told me once upon a time that they thought reckon was an abbreviated version of recommend, like as if it was like.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not at all.
I say the word reckon all the time.
Do you?
Reckon?
You reckon?
Reckon. It's because of the podcast Sparks Nevada, which was a like show on the Thrilling Adventure Hour, which the name of the podcast is the Thrilling Adventure Hour. And one of the shows they did was Sparks Nevada. And like, I don't know if it's like a real deep running gag, but he uses the word reckon a lot.
Yeah.
Reckon?
That is one of those shows that once I heard the phrase the Thrilling Adventure Hour, it like killed me that we didn't find it first. Because I love the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
It is. It's not even running anymore. Maybe you could buy it from them.
Ben. I wonder. Should I send in a query?
I mean, I don't know if we can get the same sort of talent they were pulling for their show.
Well, we have us.
Yeah, well, that's true. We do have us.
We have no one else, though.
We are the same as, like, Busy Phillips and Nathan Fillion and, you know, all of those guys.
They are pretty high-tier talent,
yeah,
aren't they?
No doubt.
We're not quite in that category. This is actually a weird thing, though, is that, like, I tell Alice all the time that, like, I desperately want, like, I don't want to become an actor. Like, I don't think that I would be very good at the grind and the auditions and the rejection.
Right.
Like, I think that, like, I would go and audition one time, and if they said no, I would be like, I get it. My whole mentality would be like, I understand. I'm not good enough.
There's no version of you as an actor in my mind where you're auditioning for stuff. There's no part of me that sees you going to Hollywood and auditioning for stuff instead of just going to Hollywood and being like, let's start a production company. And I'll write it, and I will produce it, and I will star in it, and that's that way I can't have rejection, because I will do all of the things.
Exactly.
And that will be the only way I'll feel satisfied with it. And
I feel like, yeah, maybe you understand me better than I think you do.
This would be like what you're telling all the people in the back of your Uber. You're like, I'm just starting my production company right now. I'm just doing this to get by.
Oh man, it's true. It's true. Yeah, I just daylight as an Uber driver, and I moonlight as a owner of a production company.
Right.
Also, I'm looking for talent all the time. So leave your resumes in the seat back pocket.
In the seat back pocket. I'll give you a ring.
Yes. Yes. But no, I think that constantly this is the thing where I feel like I would be way too in my head. Like there's like a psychological obstacle course that my brain would need to go through in order to be a good actor.
Mm.
And I think that a huge part of that obstacle course is the like belief that someone who knows what they're doing found me and they were like, yes, there is something about you that is unique and different and special.
Mm.
And we need that. And I'm 100% sure you can do it. And it's like, excellent, excellent. This is helpful.
Yeah.
Helpful information. And then, of course, I would still put tons of pressure on myself and, you know, like figure out how to actually execute. But I think that the auditioning process, I do not think would go well for me. I would be crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's the thing. This is the example I constantly give. Very relatable. Daisy Ridley, you know, I mean, prior to being Rey in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think she did some other small things, but like nothing like...
I'm sure they didn't just cast her off the street.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could look it up. But
yeah, the point is,
I'm not off the street, you know, like I at the very least, I have a small amount of like on-camera experience.
At the very least, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say though, interestingly, to me, what it sounds like you're describing is acting. Like you'd have to like have all that belief in yourself. You'd have to like, because that's what it is. It's like pretending you have the belief in yourself then, right? That's acting.
I know. Well, okay. So this is the thing. So I talk about this. We work in an office with people with exceptionally high IQs, mm-hmm. right? Which I unfortunately do not have. I do not believe. But the thing that I do think that I might possess is EQ, which is like the like emotional intelligence.
Right.
So what I've always believed is that given the proper circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like this person, you know, like Steven Spielberg, maybe.
Hey.
Like calls me up. It's like, Ben, we need you.
Right.
Know?
He's just surfing YouTube like Spielberg does.
Like Spielberg does. Or maybe he's listening right now. What up, Steve?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
I can't. I love Jaws. So good.
But yeah, I think that, where am I going with this? I think that because of, hopefully, with some emotional intelligence, I would be able to apply that and empathize with what my character is supposed to be feeling,
right?
You with me so far?
Yeah.
And then therefore, like, really, like, settle in.
Right, so I think, it seems like you'd be, like, a good, like, method actor.
Oh, I know. And I don't think that method acting is always regarded as, like, maybe the safest form of acting, because it can take such extreme things.
You're just in character all the time.
Right, yeah. Right. But I do think that I would probably find myself like needing to do that.
Right.
You know?
I think so. The interesting thing about like the audition process and stuff is that I think, you know, yeah, if you and I were to arrive in Hollywood as is and just like start going to like open calls or whatever, I feel like we would probably, yeah, have no idea what we were doing.
Oh, 100% would have no idea.
But I will say that in the I took a single intro to acting class.
Right.
In college, which I never intended to put towards, you know, theater or
I have frequently like stated that I think that that one class was life-changing for you.
It was a very fun class, and I would recommend that people take it because it was just fun. And I feel like I got to know the people in that class better than almost any other class because, you know, you're forced to be open with everyone and to perform in front of everyone. Like, everyone shares the same vulnerability in acting class.
Exactly.
You know, it's like running cross country.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. No better way to forge friendships.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, what you can always take solace in is that, like, oh man, I'm really nervous, but so is everyone else.
Oh.
But part of, there was like a whole, you know, section of the class that is just like how to do auditions, like what is the correct procedure, how you should walk in, how you should greet the people, the kind of things you might need to prepare. And so I think there the fact that there is like an established way to do it and that you could learn how to do it relatively quickly, I think would ease a lot of those woes.
Right. But that is almost exactly, it's almost like your table manners as it pertains to like walking in and knowing like the things you're supposed to do,
right.
What you're supposed to provide, what you're supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's almost like sitting down and putting the napkin on your lap and like knowing which fork goes where and stuff like that.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
It's the basic things.
I never remember which side of the plate the forks go on. It is so annoying to me because I look it up once a week while I'm studying the table.
Is it the right?
I think it's the left. I'm pretty sure forks are on the left and the napkin's on the left.
Oh, man. I would have had it wrong completely.
I think this,
once upon a time, I was watching like the next Food Network star or something like that, like way back in college. And I remember that one of the guys on there literally had tattooed onto his wrists, like what the table settings were. So it was like, I was like, that is for this particular career, like the coolest tattoo idea ever. It's like,
awesome.
It's like, I couldn't do it because it would be like, why? Like, do you really need that kind of reminder? It's like, how often are you setting tables? And which is, you know, very infrequently. I always felt like, yeah, I need whatever that version of a tattoo idea is for my current career.
Yeah.
So that like, I can always like take pride in the cleverness of it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I want a tattoo so desperately.
Right. But what's like, it going to be?
But what's it going to be?
Some
like
popcorn?
I have the, maybe
that's
eventually.
Not a bad one.
Popcorn could be cool.
Yeah.
Or like an empty popcorn box.
Empty pop. Why empty?
Well,
because you finished it?
Because it's kind of sad.
Oh.
Because the box is empty, Jay. It's a symbol.
It's a symbol.
I'm out of popcorn.
Would you have an empty box and then like every time like a meaningful thing happened, you get like a new kernel in it,
a new kernel in the box?
Yeah,
like you could slowly fill it up,
right?
And have like little, you could take almost like clouds.
Yeah,
you could take and inject the important moments of your life and sort of make them like a cloud type shape that is the popped kernel. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
right. So it's sort of like an amorphous thing anyway, and sort of incorporate like little symbolic moments in there, you know?
Okay, sounds good.
It could be right. We'll sleep on it for like 8 years, and
there you go.
If I still want to do it then, I probably won't.
Okay, I looked it up. Confirmed. Forks on the left, knife and spoon on the right. Knife's first, blade facing the plate, napkin on the left.
Okay, can confirm. I've done it wrong.
Can confirm.
I would say 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much a coin flip for me.
It is.
I will try and commit it to memory. I'll be like, fork, left. Fork, left. Fork, napkin, left. I will like say to myself over and over, and then the next time I'll be like,
now that I'm thinking about it, though, it is interesting. When I like, if I like use a fork and knife to cut a steak, I'm pretty sure I hold the fork in my left hand and cut with my right hand. So it does make sense that you would like maybe do it that way.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That is how I also, maybe that's a good way to remember it. How do I cut a steak? I'm the way I do it has the silverware on the correct sides.
Right. Right. Okay. So here's the other thing, though. I think that I hold silverware correctly, because I don't know if you remember this or not, but when we were kids, Mom would always be like, what are we, Vikings? You know, like you were holding it like fist formation.
Right. Yes.
Like, you know, like exactly.
Everyone knows what I just did.
Yeah. Everyone knows. Everyone was like, yeah, I did the exact same thing. I air did it in front of me to represent how I know Vikings apparently eat. For all we know, Viking had fantastic manners.
I know, right? What if you're Vikings?
I know. I feel like Vikings
are
like, knock it off. We have great table manners, thank you very much. And then they whip the napkin and like gently place it across their lap, you know, like with some extra flair. That's what I'm imagining the Vikings of the world being like. I don't know how we got this reputation for being fierce eaters, because we are not.
Right.
But it is a funny thing, having gone through adulthood and like going out to dinner and eating with my friends and stuff, the number of people who I have met that like almost seem like they never quite mastered how to like maybe hold a fork.
Oh, interesting.
Or something, or maybe I'm still doing it wrong.
Maybe you're doing it wrong.
Maybe it's like, right, I'm holding it like a pencil or something, which I always held pencils wrong. I think I rested it on like my ring finger somehow.
It is to me like one of the great failures of my elementary education, that I don't feel like I was properly trained in penmanship down to like the how to hold the pencil.
Yes.
Because, and I would say that if you just like looked around in high school, you wouldn't think there was that many ways to hold a pen.
Oh, but everyone does it different.
Everyone somehow is doing it differently.
Okay, here's the thing, though. So I feel like the way that you are supposed to hold a pencil correctly, and again, I could have this wrong, it feels like you're supposed to be like too many fingers too close to the point. Like, is it your middle finger, your pointer finger, and your thumb all holding it? Or do you even have like a ring finger in there as well? But I rest, when I'm holding a pencil or pen to write with, I rest it on my middle knuckle of my ring finger.
in the middle. I mean, you're like way
up there.
Oh my gosh, and feels very awkward.
As a result, I have truly dreadful handwriting.
Well, I don't want to say I've got any better handwriting, but I rested on the first knuckle of my ring finger, and I would say it's mostly resting there, and I have my middle finger behind it as like a holder, and then my index finger there just provides stability while my thumb does most of the gripping.
You know, this is like one of those really funny things for those people who have good imaginations. They're like, oh, I'm following completely. Other people are like, are you really describing how you hold?
Other people are like, I hold it like a Viking.
Like a Viking, the right way.
The right way. The right way to write.
The right way to write. Oh, goodness me. Okay, but so going back to like the other kids in class, though, and maybe a couple of other things, like you were talking about in your acting class, everyone else felt just as vulnerable as you did.
Right.
This is like one of those weird things where going through school, I constantly felt like I was the only one in the class that was terrified, like that I was the only one who didn't know what was going on. Like you'd look around and everyone else had great poker faces or else was just completely confident with what we were doing.
Right.
But I was always like very like, you know, like in my head about it and sort of like, man, like, are we supposed to like be pulling out our calculators right now? No calculators? Oh, man. And then there was always like that thing like where you would like get in for like a test and everybody would be like, yeah, like how much do you study for this one? And I felt like everyone would be like, yeah, put in like, you know, 6-10 hours. And I was like, really? I read like the study guide once. So was that not enough? Am I doomed?
Yeah, I think you were doomed.
I think I was doomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people ask you how much did you study for this test, all they really want to, all they're looking for is validation that they studied more than you.
Right.
Like, they're like, if they read it twice, they want you to say, yeah, I've read it once. It's like, right. Okay, I'm more prepared. Because what they're really trying to, like, do is build their own confidence because they don't think they studied enough.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's they're a good like, point.
I guess I read it over in homeroom.
Right.
But did you study at all for this? No, me neither. Okay. Oh,
thank goodness.
Okay.
That, like, I'm not the only one who's doomed.
Yeah, exactly. Whew, I can rely on that curve.
Yes, the curve.
Yeah. If we all agree to just, like, totally throw it, right? It'd be a big curve, and we'll all do fine.
But you know there'd be that one person who...
There's always that one person who ruins the curve.
Who ruins the curve.
As it were.
The curb. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We could look it up, but we won't.
Yeah. That was another thing. People did vote in the Reddit, whether it was curb or curve, and I think pretty resoundingly everyone said curb.
Curb. With a B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But here's the thing. There's still a curb around curves in a road, you know, turns.
Yep.
So I think that's where it would always like confuse me, because you're always like, when you're standing at the curb, it is often because you're at the corner of like a crosswalk.
Oh, which so is therefore the curve. The curve. The curve in the, oh, I see, I
yeah,
see.
Like,
yeah,
like this is the problem.
Right, oh, I
this
get
is,
it.
Yeah, this okay. is, this is okay. why the problem arose in my head upon further reflection. Ben, I don't think we had a corny joke yet today.
Oh my, look at you go.
There we go.
The specialist host doing his fantastic job. I've actually told you this joke once before because we did in fact record this entire episode.
Full disclosure, people.
Full disclosure.
The first recording of this podcast got completely garbled and warbled.
Garbled and just, warbled. It would have been fine enough at just garbled, but warbled? No. No, sir. We cannot have both.
Total file corruption. So
pretend like you don't know the answer to the question.
I probably forgot anyway.
You probably did. Okay. All right, Jay.
Yeah.
What does a nosy pepper do?
I know this is not right, but my mind immediately went to like something was sneezing again, which is what I said last time. And you were like, no.
No, as always.
Yeah.
Jay, a nosy pepper gets jalapeno business.
Jalapeno business. What?
Yeah.
Hilarious, because jalapenos are peppers.
They are, in fact. Actually, goodness. I could just see the I actually looked up this corny joke and it's just like an image, but I feel like I would just get this framed and put it in my kitchen because it's just such a just like nice looking little green pepper in the
just
middle
a
of
green
the screen.
Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Do you remember when there was a period of time in high school where like we would go and hang out with our friends and what we would do is go and buy extremely spicy peppers and then like the fun of the evening was eating them?
Yeah, just being in pain together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Commiseration.
Exactly. Yeah. I do remember we had a lovely evening where we all went out and bought habanero peppers.
Habaneros.
Yeah. And we came back to the house. We all just like took a big old bite right at the same time. And it was painful.
It was chaos.
It was chaos. Everyone is like immediately in such pain. And you're like, you're running out of milk. And you're like, oh no, what now? And Yeah.
This was like a funny thing that I think we did as like a big group with like the GMA and like a couple of other people who were hanging out with us, the Green Mallard Association.
As it were. Yeah.
And I think that this was like one of those moments where I took something that we had done and I had like realized was like a super fun bonding experience.
Yeah.
And like attempted to do it again under much worse circumstances.
Meaning what?
Meaning
like a hotter pepper?
No, same pepper.
Okay.
But like not at home where milk was readily available and with a friend who was 100% not prepared for the pepper. So
like we're camping in the woods.
Yeah, right. I wish we were camping in the woods.
Oh,
no. Instead,
really?
I was with my good friend in high school, Maximilian. And he really wanted to ask this girl to, I think, like either homecoming or prom or something. And so there was like an evening where like me and him were hanging out and I was like, dude, we should do this pepper challenge thing. And he was like, okay, that sounds like fun. Having absolutely no idea just how terrible it was going to be.
Right.
And so I remember like, but I think it was something where he could tell that I thought it was cool. And therefore the amount of cool that he perceived it as was like as much, if not more.
Right.
So he was like super stoked about it. Like as if eating
like,
this pepper,
let's get these peppers.
Like nothing is going to impress this girl I'm about to ask to homecoming/prom more than.
Wait, was she present?
Well, that was the thing.
Okay.
We went to the local Kroger's.
Yeah.
And we picked up like literally, and the best part about this is that a single pepper, when you go to like weigh it, it costs like 16 cents. Like,
yeah,
it is like the cheapest form of don't do it for what it's worth. I feel like I'm describing it as if this is something worthwhile doing. Do not do it. But so we bought our two peppers for
32 cents later.
32 cents later, we were in deep and
we're pot committed.
We were at the mall, so we walked over, I think it was to Applebee's, and that's where this girl was supposed to meet us. And so, like, we're sitting there with, like, you know, our produce bag, which is way too big for these two itty bitty peppers that are at the bottom of them. You know, like the clear, super like lightweight produce bags.
Wait, okay, so let me make sure I've got the scene set appropriately in my mind. You and Maximilian go and buy your habaneros.
For 32 cents.
And then you proceed to go to a restaurant to meet a girl he's going to ask out so you can eat the peppers in front of her?
You have nailed it clean on the head.
Okay.
Thank you.
A foolproof plan if ever I heard one.
I know.
Are they married?
No. They're not. I can see why you would have so many questions, though, because the plan is so ridiculous that it's easy to not follow.
Okay.
So anyway, it was like we're going to sit down, you know, and the girl arrives. I think we're just eating it like at Applebee's anyway, so it's like whatever. And like we get to the point where I was like, Max, you want to do this, man? And he's like, let's do it. And like he was so I know you know who Max is, but like pure blind confidence. Like, nothing can go wrong here.
And how hot could a pepper be?
I'm about to be a total showstopper.
Right.
And, oh, man, I had so, so poorly guided Max in this situation. And so we sit down and, you know, like, we both go for it. I sort of, like, know what's coming. Plus, I'm, like, big into spicy foods.
Right.
So handle it with, you know,
with grace,
whatever amount of grace is available to profusely sweating an Applebee's bar top table. Max, on the other hand, like bites into it. And there's like this very brief period of time after you bite a super spicy pepper where you are under the impression that you were immune to the spiciness of it because it has not struck you yet. And then it did. And all of a sudden, you know, like this girl is sitting there and she's like clearly unimpressed from the go.
Right. Like this is, what are you guys eating? Okay.
This is almost the like way less cool version of having a super loud exhaust on your car where like,
oh no,
you are under the perception that everyone thinks it's awesome.
Right.
And everyone else is just kind of like bothered by the extreme noise and black smoke that comes out of the vehicle.
Right. Except now also, you're bothered and your mouth is on fire.
Exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. And like you're not in a place where you can run over to the fridge and grab the gallon of milk and just, you know.
But certainly Applebee's must have like ice cream or some sort of.
I believe that eventually they provided something, but Max, is like having the exact reaction that someone who, and the reason I say do not do this, like should, it was too much spice. And so, you know, he's not only sweating, but his like eyes are red and he's like, I don't know, coughing and stuff. And then we got the clear produce bag and he literally throws up.
Oh no.
Oh, it like went off the rails so badly.
Wow.
It was, oh my gosh, I felt terrible.
So wait, was it just the three of you?
I believe it was just the three of us. Yeah, we're there. Yeah. And I was like trying to be, you know, Johnny McWingman over there. And I have like
Max, I got the perfect plan. It's going to be like, so cool.
What could go wrong? And this is like, you know, I mean, he's like one of like my best friends in high school too. Like we're super, like this is in no way, shape or form was like trying to like run him astray in any way that was going to like cause him like embarrassment or something. Like my genuine belief was that like, like this is going to be cool.
So was he like, was there no chance she would have just said yes? just out of the blue?
Without the pepper, without, you mean?
Like, were they friends ahead of time? Or like, could it, yeah, would this, or was this like, we've barely talked. We know each other's names, but.
No. We were all on the like track and cross country team and stuff like that together. Okay. So it was someone who we would have spent, you know, regular like time with after school and all that. But I do think and this is me attempting to go back in time. There's a chance that she would have been surprised that he was asking, I would say, is the only measure. Like they were not like dating.
Right.
But like in high school, especially for like prom and homecoming and stuff, that's not that important.
Right. You just want to go.
And that's the thing. Like someone to take pictures with and get there. So that was really like, you know, I think the underlying thing there. Although I wish that I had better memory and now I feel like it is failing me. I don't know if it was a successful ask.
You don't even know.
I can't even remember if this ended up working out.
Oh, well.
And I want to believe that it did because if it didn't, in hindsight.
It seems like it's your fault.
It kind of seems like it was my fault.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Barely a smidge.
A little bit.
I think I messed up.
Oh,
my bad, Max, if you're out there listening.
Sorry, Max. That's Ben's bad.
This is just like one of those things though, where like, I think it's just like, all I was doing was observing a situation that had gone so positively with our group of friends. Like it was something that I had done.
Right.
And it was ridiculous then too.
I want to say the first time we did it, someone threw up.
They might have. So maybe I don't even have that as my saving grace for why this would have been okay. But yeah, it clearly didn't work out. But that's what it came back to. The same actually ended up being true of another just plain dumb challenge, which was the gallon challenge where you would drink like a
whole gallon of milk in under an hour.
It was, I think we ended up just doing water. It wasn't milk.
I see.
But this was like something where I feel like there was a small enough group of people. And again, this is like a dangerous thing to do. Do not do this. But there was like a small group of people that I just happened to like be driving around in high school, and like some of my friends were like, hey, are you guys nearby? And we like pulled up and they had all gone to the store and bought these gallon jugs, and what their plan was to just drink them.
What a night.
I know.
What a night.
But like the things that became like eventful all of a sudden, it like became like a small trend where it seemed like there were just like weekends where like people were like, oh yeah, we're gallon challenging this weekend.
Here we
go. Like, really? Again?
Right,
like
again.
Do we need to keep doing it?
Right. Yeah, that's, I don't know why you would do it again.
Yeah.
Once you've gallon challenged, you've done it.
You've done it. But also, don't do it.
Also, don't do it.
Not worth it. Same result as poor Maximilian. But anyway, so that was the course of that fantastic plan gone.
I remember one challenge we did was the can you eat a whole loaf of bread in an hour challenge.
We did that?
I don't know if maybe you were there, but I know at least me and some GMA members did it.
Okay.
And yeah, we went to the store. We each bought like a full loaf of like, you know, sliced bread.
Like just like white bread.
Yeah, just like white bread, honey oat, whatever was your fancy. We sat down to watch a movie and it was like, all right, you have to finish by the end of the movie or something. And it was just like, you cannot do it.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It's so much bread.
This is like, I mean, if somebody offers me like two sandwiches
yeah.
for me, I'm like, no way. I could never do it.
Like, well,
that's,
okay.
That's like, although I have like the eating attention span of like a hamster.
Yeah.
So I really can't eat a whole bunch of food. So I don't think this is the type of thing I ever could have conned myself into believing it was possible.
Right. This is why you went for the hot stuff. You're like, this isn't that much food.
Right.
It's just a really intense food.
Exactly. My wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But so you did not do it.
I don't think we succeeded. No, we tried.
We tried. Okay.
Yeah.
The other one that I know that we attempted was the, like, what is it? Like six saltine crackers in a minute.
Oh yes. This one's popular. Yeah. You can probably, well, I mean, I don't want to encourage people to try things that are dangerous. It will dry your mouth up real quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently we must've just gone through a phase. There must've been a period of time where we were like looking these things up.
I feel like this was the kind of, like, there was no YouTube when we were in high school. So like these little internet challenges would come around, but it wouldn't be like there was tons of videos to watch
right.
of them or anything. And you just sort of like hear about it and be like, yeah, we gotta try it. We gotta do it.
That was the thing. And maybe that's part of what it was, is that like it wasn't at the time, and we were right on the cusp of it being much more pervasive,
yeah.
like for this information to be readily available. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe that's a huge part of it, was at the time there was a very good likelihood that you could discover something and then show other people and they had no idea.
Right.
Like they had never heard of it yet.
Yeah.
Whereas I think now, like when a lot of these challenges come up, like chances are you've stumbled across it in your Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, somewhere, like it's
right.
it's come across like your radar.
Yeah.
And maybe that was part of the fun, was getting to, like, you know, like you showed one person and then you were like, nobody knows about this.
Right.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I need to go not social media, share it with people physically.
Right.
Yeah. Back in the old days.
Back in the old days. No YouTube just yet.
Not just yet.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile. And it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card.
Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
So, okay, I feel like we should back up because one portion of the information that I think might add some context even to my spice eating abilities, I think I'm remembering was part of the episode that was corrupted. And this this was my in high school and beyond obsession with Andy Capp's hot fries.
Yes, we discussed this at length earlier this week.
Yes, we did. And unfortunately, nobody will get to recognize the dawning comprehension that happened to me live on the podcast, which was basically us starting to realize that I have like I don't even know if closet obsession, if it's just an actual obsession with convenience stores.
Convenience stores.
Yeah. In a way where it's like true basically my whole life.
Right.
Like it might be the single longest standing thing that has been absolutely consistent about me since I was like 7.
Right.
And I'm 30.
Is that you like convenience stores?
Is that, and not only that I like convenience stores, that I have like been an individual frequenter of like my go-to convenience store based on like wherever I've lived.
Right.
And this goes back to like when we were living in Rocky Mount, Virginia, we had this house and I learned how to ride my bike. And I think like 2 miles away from the house was like the local CVS.
Yeah.
And that was sort of like where I would go. I would like save up like literal coins.
Right.
You know, from like doing odd jobs around the house for mom. And once I had like $3.75, it's like, okay, time to go cash this in.
Time to go just bring home the candy.
And I would go. I would ride my bike there with my backpack and I would go in and I would like literally sit in the candy aisle and like do math in my head. And this is like when I was like learning how like sales tax even worked because it was like, okay, so they've got like a $1 box of Junior Mints, but that's like $1.05 when you add the sales tax to it. So like, you know, okay, if I do that, then that means, you know, $3.75 minus that off, $2.70 left. Okay.
Yeah.
So Junior Mints down. And this was like the most fun thing that I could do. And I would do it by myself.
Right.
You know,
you
like
just go and sit at the store and pick out candy.
And just pick out candy.
Why do you think that was like such a like a fun thing for you? Like what, this must have been like the entry point. Like what about this made it like stick as this like addictive thing in your head, do you think?
I mean, the thing is I'm not totally sure. Like I think for me, there's been like a huge sense my whole life of like very much wanting like my own freedom to make decisions.
Right.
Like I never liked going to the store, and we've talked about this before, but like mom would always say that I would ask these like no questions. Mm-hmm. Like I would go to the store and be like, hey mom, can we buy that? And she would be like, no. And it was like, well, why not? And it was like, you know, like in my mind, I needed like a genuine explanation, like why you need to help me come to the understanding of why we don't need it.
Right.
Because like in my mind, it was like, well, it's so easy. Like, and actually, I think I've talked about this before, but I remember mom was like, we don't have the money for it, which I think was just her like default answer. And I was like, we could write a check. They'll never know.
That's like imagining check fraud.
Yeah, no, like right. as a 7-year-old right. kid, like the cashier isn't gonna know what's in your bank account, mom. It's right. fine. They're gonna let us leave the store.
Our checks weird.
Checks are kind of weird.
Like, hey, I don't have money, but these people, they'll vouch for me.
They have my money.
I'll give you this piece of paper that I wrote on.
It does,
and that means I have money.
The idea of the personal check does feel like such a bizarre like trust fall exercise for all of society.
Yeah, right.
It's like here's money. Probably.
You think that? Yeah. Like, we don't really live in the day and age of check writing at the cash register.
Not really. Most
if I was standing behind
it.
Someone who pulled out a checkbook to pay for their groceries, oh my gosh.
Like, no.
I'd be like, what are you doing?
Writing a novel.
Oh my gosh. Hurry. Also, this would mean that I was standing in some sort of line with a cashier and wasn't self-checking out, which would also be bizarre.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, I think as a child, it was this thing where I very, very much liked having my own freedom to like make the decisions that I wanted to make. So it was like, it was sort of like win or lose based on the quality of the deals I was getting of the day. It was like, it all fell on me. And I was perfectly fine with that. You know, right. it was like, this is great. I get right. to go and I get to go shopping and nobody's standing there tapping their foot waiting for me and I can hem and haw. And like, literally I'm like spending, you know, like an hour and a half sitting right. in the candy aisle at CVS, just literally like, you know,
figuring out
the best way to spread my $3.75.
Right.
And so it was kind of like, this was like the dawning comprehension moment of it for me though, is that as I started getting older, like we moved to Cape Spring, Virginia, and we used to go to this pool.
Yeah.
And every day at the pool during break, all the kids would be like, hey, let's walk to the nearby 7-Eleven and we can buy like a Slurpee or something.
Right.
Which was amazing.
Yes.
Because, you know, now I've graduated from like 7-8 year olds where I had to like ride my bike.
Right.
Now I have the freedom of being dropped off at the pool every day.
Right. Like, and you used to spend all day at the pool from like I guess it was... There was just like a group of your friends who would be there like from like 8 to 6.
Yeah, like the whole day. The whole day. Yeah, like so we
mom,
even...
Mom has to give you money now.
Yeah.
Like, right, you know, turn this into food. Don't starve.
Don't starve, exactly. Yeah, so it was like, you know, she would give me like, I don't know, a few bucks for the day or whatever. And I think what her intention with that was they would sell... They had like a snack bar.
Yeah.
Where you didn't have to leave the premises.
Yeah.
Which I left the premises every single time.
Hey.
And walked to the nearby 7-Eleven. And once again, you know, I was able to like go in there. I mean, then you had your friends with you, so you couldn't like rouse as long.
Yeah.
You couldn't really take in the sights, you know, like right. weigh all your options. But it was fine. I really liked my Slurpee, so it was good.
Did you ever feel any like pressure to buy a cool snack in this situation?
Oh, like
okay, well, like, oh gosh, I really want these, but like, is that gonna be like a, people are gonna be like, why'd you get those?
You wanna know the honest truth here?
Yeah.
I broke the seal on ordering from the Roller Grill.
Oh.
This was.
Everyone's been told not to order from the Roller Grill, and they're like, yeah, you shouldn't do, this is like on airplanes.
Yeah.
When they come around, like, would you like to purchase a beverage or like a snack
yeah.
or something? Like, if you would have grown up in our house, you would have thought that people are paying for this is the most outrageous thing ever. Like,
it was
absolutely never do this.
Nope, never. Yeah.
Never, ever.
What did we promptly do as we became adults?
Oh, man. It was like, yeah, I think the first few times I was on a plane and they like offered this, I was like, no, thanks. I'm no sucker. I will be taking the complimentary cookies, please.
Right.
Give me my quarter of a ginger ale and I'll be fine.
Yes.
Yeah. But at one point, I think one time we were just on a plane and it was, you know, just starving.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's just shoot. Okay, we'll get a thing.
We'll get a
thing.
And
it was like the amount of enjoyment, like the improved experience of that flight was so tremendous.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, you know, you spend like $8 and you're like, yeah, I have a snack tray.
That's right. Oh, man. There's
cheese,
nothing better
than chocolate, 7 almonds.
Oh, that's right. 7 almonds.
What more do you need?
What more do you need? This was like, to me, I guess it was like talked to us as just like a rule of life, like a rule of society. Is like, people don't really do it. Like, it's not like something you're supposed to. Like, it's morally wrong.
Right.
Or something. It was like, it's not even really an option. And if I do it, I'm like, maybe I'll get arrested. I don't know.
What does happen?
Well, I don't know.
Like, the bad deal police rolls up and, and cuffs you right there on the spot.
Exactly.
You just spent $8 on 7 almonds? No, sir. Not today.
Right. Oh, goodness. Yeah. But so anyway, you're at 7-Eleven.
So I'm at 7-Eleven. They have the Roller Grill, which has taquitos.
Oh, taquitos.
Oh, man. So to answer your question, if I ever bought something cool, this was like one of those things where for the most part, I would say literally the entire purpose of the trip for literally every single person was to go and order a small Slurpee.
Yeah.
So literally everyone, that's like what we all went and we all got the same thing, the smallest cup. And like even getting like a big one would feel like a baller decision,
like,
you know, like,
whoa,
that was like,
okay.
Yeah, like it almost seemed like excess.
Yeah, hungry.
Yeah, so, yeah, come on now. What is that, the 16 ounce? Come on, 12 is fine.
Yeah.
But so finally there was one day, yes, where I like broke down and ordered a single taco and cheese. No, I take that back. It was 2 for $3.
2 for $3.
I ordered 2 taco and cheese taquitos.
Yeah.
And it was like a floodgate opened. Like I probably cost so many parents of my friends like ones of dollars because all of a sudden the cost to go to 7-Eleven went up.
Right.
And yeah, so then because we like I got them and everybody was like, "Oh, that's really cool."
Yeah.
And so like we like all like took like a small bite off of it. And by the way, taquitos are so good.
But also so not.
So not. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. No, they make you feel like if I eat one, I enjoy it as long as I'm eating it. And then I immediately feel just like an actual human garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, the worst. But that's okay. So anyway, fast forwarding again, I'm now finally 16 years old.
Yeah.
Immediately like go and get my first job at the local Petland where I worked in the fish department.
Right.
And it was like the pure glory of having a paycheck. Like I even remember getting a paycheck and it was for like, I don't know, you know, $108 or something. And it was like, whoa, I'm going to have this every 2 weeks. That is unlimited money at 7-Eleven.
Right. Yeah. Like just 7-Eleven.
Yes.
This is always, yeah. Like even when we were in school, I remember you having this job. It was like, it seemed like your sole motivator was that you could now go to like fast food and or convenience stores.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was completely something where like a part of the perk of having the job was like, I could be like, hey, do you guys want to go get some food? Like, I'll pay, you know? And it was like, I never felt like I was being like even remotely used by it. Like it was my personal enjoyment to get to like go and take people to like eat somewhere. And it was like, I can order whatever I want.
Right.
And again,
it's like this freedom of choice.
It is a freedom of choice.
That's really
thing.
What
yeah,
it is.
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I think really what was so great about it too at that time was the scale of the things that I felt attainable relative to the amount of money that I had at my disposal, if that makes sense. Meaning like, you know, all of a sudden I had like wealth relative to the $1 a piece items that I was purchasing.
Right. Like your super valuable thing is very cheap.
It's very cheap.
And
exactly.
It's like, yeah. You're not even scaling up your tastes. You're just like, this is just,
yes.
I'm just a big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like super, super exciting. And it got to the point where, yeah, like I got really hooked on, and this is what started us on here, on Andy Capp's hot fries.
Right.
Which I think even the Andy Capp's hot fries go back to a potentially even younger version of this exact thing.
Okay.
Where I had 35 cents to spend when I was like 4 or 5 at the vending machine at our local pool. And I would buy the cheddar fries because that's all they had. And I don't know if you've ever had a small bag of Andy Capp's cheddar fries, but there are about as many of them in there as there were almonds on the airplane.
Right.
Like, it's like, how can you charge for basically a plastic bag that has none in here? So again, fast forward back to high school when I can buy like the convenience store size bag, which has plenty. I mean, more
huge.
Than like tons. I bought them all the time. I probably bought a bag of Andy Capp's hot fries every single day for like 6 years.
Right.
Like way, way, way too often.
Right. So yeah, that's where I think this whole thing gets really interesting. Cause I can see like you feeling like there's like for your whole life, there's been this like aisle at the store or this like 7-Eleven where you coveted many of the very cheap things in there.
Right.
And were just like basically told no by your parents.
Right.
Saying like, we're not going to like just give you junk food, like buy all the, you know, whatever.
Right.
And suddenly it's just like, I can just do this. And I can understand that like freedom of choice, like unlocking in your brain. But the interesting thing is that like then into adulthood, when everything is freedom of choice, more or less, you are still like, I don't know, drawn to the very original thing.
Yeah. It's
like you're still going out, like leaving the house at night to go to a convenience store to purchase hot fries.
Continued until like literally, you know, we started the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel in 2012.
Yeah.
This was still happening as of then.
Right.
And so I was, you know, at that point in time, like a 22-year-old.
Right.
And like, yeah, you and I moved into the same house together. We had a convenience store, like literally just down the street and to the left.
Right.
Or the Sheets, which was just down the street and to the right. Premium options, you know.
You know.
And yeah, and it was just like, I would continue to do this over and over and over again.
Yeah, it seems so interesting that it's like, because to me, like, I'm only in a convenience store, like, if I'm on a road trip and I need gas.
Right, you right. Know? You know, and you need, like, some, like, road fuel.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, well, I have to go inside. I'm going to, you know, get some chips or something. But, yeah, you were, like, going out of your way to get to, and it's like, to buy items, you could just as easily get, like, at the grocery store.
You can't get Andy Capp's hot fries at the, I mean, you can.
Yeah.
But it would be ridiculous to buy them at the grocery store.
Right?
Like in the chip aisle? No. I don't even think they keep them in the chip aisle. I think they're closer to like the trail mix.
Right. So it's just like, it's so interesting to me that like maybe, like, is the draw even still the hot fries, or is it like the thrill of going to the convenience store?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, is this like you embracing your inner child? Is like, I think it is.
It might be. It literally might be. It's like, I can go somewhere where, like, even when I had the smallest amount of income that I ever had, which was like $100 every 2 weeks, it was like I had the full ability and confidence inside of this space.
Right.
So it's like a safe space for me.
I see.
But so, and that is the other like unbelievably weird twist to this. So for what it's worth, I got off, like, off the wagon, on the wagon. What am I?
If you fall off the wagon, if you're like an alcoholic who falls off the wagon, it means you took a drink.
Okay, got it. Right. Okay. So I have stopped eating Andy Capp's hot fries every single day because I got more into like my exercise life and realized that it was directly competing with my want to achieve those goals.
Yeah.
So I have ceased to continue to eat my Andy Capp's hot fries. But now, living where I live currently, I am once again like a stone's throw from a convenience store.
Did it impact your purchasing of the house, do you think?
I don't think it did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it did.
Right.
I don't know. No, I don't think it played a role. I think if anything, I was worried that I was too close to a convenience store and that it could be potentially problematic just for other reasons, kerfuffles that could arise, which has not been a problem at all.
Okay.
But it is now the case, that I no longer go for hot fries every single day, but I still go a lot.
Is it every day?
It's not every day.
Okay.
It's definitely not every day. But it is something where, like, I have solved many a, oh, crud, we don't have that, and walk down there and purchase.
Interesting. Yes. I know the exact story you're talking about because I used to live just, like, you know, half a mile from you, so.
Right, then you moved.
Then I moved. Sorry about that.
What's up with that?
Ugh, kids, you know.
I get it. You don't, it's actually okay. I fully understand.
But it's interesting that, like, you find yourself going there all the time. I remember when I moved into the house, to that house that was close to this same store, I had this, like, running game in my head of how long can I live here without going to that store.
What?
I know.
You didn't want to go to the store?
I was like, if I break that seal, I'm going to be there all the time. Like,
it's true.
Any like minor thing we don't have, I'll just go get it. And I was like, and I was like, the honest, like, probably whatever that feeling is I don't need it. Like, I'll just live without it.
Sure.
And I was like, but one of these days, I'm going to, like, break down and be like, oh, yeah, we have people coming over. We need to get this thing. I'll just run over. And, like, it's like I felt like if I break the seal, I'll be there all the time. I'll suddenly be like, that was so easy. I'll just fix this problem right now. But
I need to be deprived of this solution.
You need.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I need for there to be a way that, like, that holds me to being more responsible when I'm just grocery shopping. Because I do feel like I have, like, this, like, lifeline with unlimited uses that I get to use constantly. It's like, oh, Band-Aids? How often do you buy Band-Aids? Maybe more often when you have kids.
Well, not because they're constantly getting injured, just because they constantly want Band-Aids.
Oh, they love Band-Aids.
Oh, kids love Band-Aids. I mean, I only have one kid who can, like, request them.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, if he gets an actual cut or scrape and there's, like, blood, you absolutely need to go get the Band-Aid.
Sure.
But the lesson they learn is that, like, when I'm in pain, I need a Band-Aid.
Oh.
So if they, like, you know, bang their, you know, hand against the wall or, you know, fall down and just have, like, a regular bump or not even just something that's gonna, like, fade within seconds. Need Band-Aid?
Band-Aid? Oh, man. Oh, I totally know what to bring over next time I'm coming.
Oh, yeah.
Whole pack of Band-Aids.
Yeah. Please don't do that.
I won't do that. Oh, sorry, man. Luke, if you're listening to this in the future and you're like, man, I would have loved those Cars Band-Aids.
Well, we did have Toy Story ones.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
The best. As an adult, would you wear the Toy Story Band-Aids?
I mean, I guess so. If that was, like, all we had.
How frequently do you use a Band-Aid as an adult? This is like one of those things. things that as a child, Band-Aids are like, I would say we use them weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, by need.
Oh, yes.
Like, as adults, it may have literally been like, I don't know, years since I have used a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I definitely not even like monthly, would I say.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then I have my terrible bad habit is that I pick hangnails on my fingers and every now and then that will bleed and
bleed.
And that'll be like, oh man, I gotta get a Band-Aid on. Like I, oh, Band-Aids are like an item in my mind that when I like think about using one, I'm like, it stresses me out because I don't know how one single adhesive strip can produce so much trash.
It's true.
It is unbelievable. Like, it's really just, because it's just like two wrappers and then two more pieces,
yes,
plus the Band-Aid. But somehow, it's everywhere.
Oh, and that's the thing, yeah, is, yeah, like the things that you peel off the adhesive part are like statically declined or something.
Yeah.
Like where you like go to like reach for them and it almost seems like the very nature of your body getting close to them causes them to like scoot further away, right, / under the desk.
Yeah, and then they're just there forever. Yeah, so.
And then you're doomed.
Then you're doomed.
Once again, fun fact.
Doomed.
If you ever want to make any word more fun, if it ends in D, just add another T to the end of it. Doomed.
Doomed.
That's how I'm spelling it. D-O-O-M-E-D-T.
T. Doomed.
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 We're doomed.
Now it's going to be the title. Doomed.
That's exactly correct. Oh, man. In other news of strange decisions that Ben has made recently, I'm kind of blonde.
Yeah, I had noticed that your hair was lighter.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Thank you for using that exact term.
Okay.
Okay, so I was going to the lake for a week, and very frequently when I want to do something ridiculous to my appearance, or really anything at all where like I feel like I have to express vulnerability, I usually turn it into like, ha, 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 this is so funny. Like, I'm going to pretend to, you know, do this thing, and then if it works out, stick to it.
Right.
Like, this is...
Exactly.
This is literally what happened with my beard, which I've, like, Alice has never seen me without.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, you and I was like, dude, let's do No Shave November, right? Like,
yeah,
how fun
right?
could that be? Like, we'll tell off our friends about it. It'll be all, we're gonna look so ridiculous. It'll be so funny.
Yeah.
And then
I did.
Well, so mine grew out and I was like, huh, it works. And I've literally never shaved it ever since. And that
right.
was like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So I've just had a beard for a very long time. That this is sort of the case. Like, we went into quarantine and I feel like a lot of people had this phase where like somewhere around April, May, everyone was like, I want to dye my hair.
Ooh.
Because like, you know, we've been inside and I want to make a change. And I want to do something.
Right.
And like, you can do that from home, I think sometimes. And so what I actually really wanted to do was like, do like a silver, you know, like just like go like super, like, I don't know, internet creative look.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever we go to conferences, all the fellow internet creators have such cool style.
Yeah.
Like, they've always like done something and I'm like, yes, you look cool and you're pulling it off, but I don't know if I can do it.
Like, yeah, you don't think they're thinking that about you?
I don't think they're thinking that about me.
They're not like, man, I wish I could dress more like Ben Carlin.
Yeah, no, I don't think that comes up very often.
I don't know. Maybe.
You never know. Yeah, maybe I'll ask more people. Do you wish you dressed like me? Because that's not weird. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So I'm going on vacation and I was like, you know what could be kind of fun? Like, you know how like when you were a kid, you might put like lemon juice in your hair or something and like
right.
it kind of like changes.
Yeah, when you were a kid.
Not all the time. Not last
all
week.
The time.
Well, I was like, well, now that I have funds and I don't need lemons, I was like, maybe I'll order something and I'll put like something specifically in my hair to make it lighter because
right.
I know I'm going to be outside all day. So a couple days before leaving on this trip, I'm getting my hair cut and the person who's been cutting my hair has been cutting my hair for like literally the last like 5 years or
right.
something. It's been like a very long time. And I'm telling her like, hey, if I were to put lightener in my hair, what would that do? She like abruptly stops and she's just like, what are you trying to do? And I was like, I don't know. I just thought it'd be kind of fun if like, you know, I had like lighter hair. And she's like, what are you trying to do? And it was like, I don't know. I bought some lightener. I was going to put it in. She's like, oh my God, do not do that. Your hair is going to turn copper. And
oh boy.
So I was like, oh man. And so she explains to me like, you know, the differences between like hair colors and stuff. And apparently like 10 is like a blonde.
Sure.
Like Luke, like your son. And then
yeah.
like, I'm like a 4 or 5, which is
yeah.
like pretty dark. And she's
okay.
like, if you don't do it properly, you're just going to end up as like a 6, 7, 8, which is just basically like reddish coppery color. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, good note. Promptly upon arriving at the lake, I was like, I'm doing it anyway. I totally bought it, and I, against sound advice, I'm gonna do it. So I did it, and it was one of these strange things because where we go to the lake, it's basically like camping more than anything else.
Yeah.
So I had pretty much not seen myself in the mirror at all since doing it.
Oh boy.
And
I mean, there's a mirror there.
There is a mirror there, but it's kind of like shaded, kind of hard to tell, you know, I mean, it's right. Like, you know, who's to say really?
Who's to say?
But so yeah, we get back and we're standing in the office together and you're like, something's different.
Your hair is definitely, your hair stylist was correct. It is a very coppery color.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's not like a bad thing. What, yeah. Unless what you were going for was, you know, Luke Carlin blonde.
No, no. She told me that I'd have to use bleach in order to accomplish that.
Oh.
And so I was like, that feels extreme.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not quite ready for that yet. But when I am, I will play it off, like, jokingly, like, right. Haha, this will be funny. Man. Except in reality, I really want to see what happens. And maybe it'll look good. Who and knows? Maybe it'll be like my new look forever.
Right.
Because that's the way it works.
It is. Yeah. You just got to joke about it. But the thing is, like, it's so weird because it doesn't have to be that way. You could just go, you could just make an appointment today and just have it done
that
professionally.
Somehow that feels completely unacceptable.
Like, you're
to
not
me.
Allowed to do that. Like, you might get arrested.
Yeah. This is literally the same thing. Yes.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's like I need anything that I want to do. It's even going back to the acting thing. It's like, I can't take it seriously. But if, like, someone calls, definitely I'll do it.
Yeah.
But it has to be more like, haha, wouldn't it be crazy if I became like a Hollywood actor, can someone find me please?
Right.
And then when they do, it's like, then you're there, then you take it seriously, because then you're like on set and it's important. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you're like, I'm gonna do this
right. And this is like that, I don't know, I do know that this feeling that like trying will not, like, I don't know, like you can't try it in a serious way. It's like, I feel like this is how I felt similar probably in the exact same like hair realm, like when I started putting like, you know, gel in my hair.
Yes.
You know, it was like, if I put gel in my hair, people are going to like know that I'm trying, and I don't want people to know that I'm trying.
Right.
Even though it's like, I don't want people to know that I care. And if I do that, they'll know that I care and it looks like I'm trying too hard, and I don't want it to look like I'm trying hard.
Right.
But like, I do care. So what do? So I remember it was like when I got like hired at my first full-time job, I was like, this is my reason. I'm, you know what? I have a real job. Now I have a very good like, if anyone's like, it feels like you're trying too hard, it's like, well, you know, I got a new job, it's a transitionary period, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta look professional.
Yeah, right,
exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's like, don't worry about it. But it was like, but like, needed that excuse or something. But like, no one stopped me. Meanwhile, if I saw anyone with hair, you know, product in their hair, I wouldn't have been like, that guy, wow, trying so hard, cares so much. Right.
Like too much, problematic amount of caring. Yeah, no, you're right. It's never something that I would apply towards someone else.
Yeah.
But it was totally something that, like, yeah, you feel like, especially if it's your own physical appearance and someone is aware of what you're attempting to do, it puts it like under that much more scrutiny.
Yeah.
Like, then it's like, oh, they're trying.
Yeah.
How successful are they at it? Mm-hmm. Is it better? Is their attempt at trying better than if they had done nothing at all?
If you, especially the thing when you're a teenager, like if there's like a status quo for just like how things are and you try and like disrupt that in any way.
Yeah.
Like, so often I feel like you will, like, I don't know, like high schoolers are very loud about calling stuff that out.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, that was like, I remember in high school, like when we had like the really long hair that like, you know, swished across our faces and stuff.
Yeah.
It was this thing like where tons of people would be like, oh my God, you can never cut your hair. It was like people like made such a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so important. And then I remember if I got a haircut and I came to school, people would like literally like see me in the hallway and they'd be like, no, like this is literally what happened.
Ugh.
And I think realistically people were like maybe being like somewhat playful and it wasn't really intended to be like mean or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like it did make an impact on you. Like,
right.
You,
you're like, okay.
It's like whether or not they were being serious, you were still like listening.
Right.
And yeah, so that was, I think that that's, it's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
So what is your, what is your advice? What do I do?
I mean, you just have to, if it's something you want to do, you just have to have the courage and go for it.
What if it's the type of thing where I want to do it if it works, but I don't want to do it if it doesn't work?
I think
that's the dilemma that it comes down to for me. It's like, I really want the opportunity to try it where it's fine.
Yeah.
And if it's not, like, if it ends up being, like, a problem, then it's, like everybody else is, like, aware.
What is the thing you want to do? You want to try the platinum hair?
No, I don't know, Jay. I mean, who's to say, really? Like, maybe. Well, so this was the other thing, too. Back up. So, why don't you do, like, the silver? Because I thought that would look, like, very cool, yeah. Very edgy. And I asked Alice to ask her hairstylist if it was something I could get away with, and what I was told is that the maintenance on silver hair is like impossible. It's like you constantly have to be going and having it like recolored, because as soon as your roots come up and something that's that light, it becomes very apparent.
I got
you. Get that like Cruella de Vil look going on.
You don't want that. Yeah. No one wants to look like Cruella de Vil.
Maybe you do. I don't know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's pretty mean to dogs, but
yeah, you know. Don't do that. Yeah. So anyway, that's my real dilemma. And then the other
dilemma.
Precisely. Yeah, you caught it. And then I suppose the other thing too is like I've always sort of said this, like, okay, worst case scenario, my hair grows super fast. Like I'll just like buzz my whole head.
Right.
Which is also something that like quietly I'd be like, I wonder what I would look like with just like a buzzed head.
Mm-hmm.
Will it look way different?
Yeah.
We also have a job that kind of has us like public facing.
It is very public facing. Yeah. So yeah, people would know immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'd be tremendous feedback.
Yes. Feedback. Great way to put it.
Yes. There'd be tremendous feedback.
Feedback.
For or against. But I don't know. We have a very positive community.
We sure do. Yeah.
You're Super Carlin Brothers. And I'm sure they would support you.
Hopefully.
In your decision to do it.
That's our big question for the day. Can Ben pull off a brand new hairstyle?
Boy. Yeah.
Please send all of your responses to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Am I inviting just pure pandemonium?
What you're inviting is absolutely everyone's going to say do it.
Nice.
I think that's
Jay,
my guess.
It's playing into my plan perfectly.
Right. Yeah, it's no, like, I'm just doing it for the pod.
Everybody thought it was such a good idea. I got like, hundreds so, of emails.
I'm going to like do it for an Instagram post and then like it'll be funny and yeah.
Yeah,
like to be like, yeah, this was just part of the podcast we do.
We stumbled into the conversation.
I didn't decide this.
I didn't meticulously plan it in advance. We're just here now, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. You're doing it right now.
I know.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Although I don't know. Now I'm having like my own internal struggle. If it now feels manipulative. Is it manipulative?
No, Ben.
Don't say that.
I don't think it's
manipulative. Tell me it's not. Okay, thank God.
It's not manipulative.
Whew, okay.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pop. Hopefully this one is recorded correctly and you actually got to hear every single one of our words. If you guys would like to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. Each week we do include a bonus upload to that Patreon page. We call it After the Final Pop, where you just get a few extra 10 to 15 minutes of additional dialogue, or we might respond to something somebody sent in, or really just anything.
You can go anywhere.
Just more talking. Yeah. Another news, I also want to give a huge thank you to these patrons who do now support us over on Patreon. Shout out to Anna, aka SCB Fan, over on Instagram, Joseph Klassen, John Gillette, Brian Boss, Viola Landman, Cecil Hops, Sandra, Timothy Cassidy, Iana McGanahan. I think that's
McClanahan.
That reminds me of Miracle on Ice.
That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah.
O'Callaghan.
Yeah, they do them like back to back.
Yeah,
it's like two names.
It's like all these funny
O'Callaghan, like, McClanahan. It's like, whoa, those names are similar.
Woo.
Anyway. Shout out to you. Ethan Hoffditz.
I'm not even looking at the sheet. So.
Okay. Jaden Easton, Chad Leake, David Shear, and Zach Campbell. Thank you guys so much for your support over on Patreon. Otherwise, guys, until next week.
Pop, pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.